Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And we'll be starting off in verse 1. Acts chapter 10, starting off in verse 1. Where it reads as follows. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? Acts chapter 10 is a magnificent chapter describing the conversion of Cornelius. Despite the fact, as we just read here, that he feared God, despite the fact that he was a devout man, despite the fact that he prayed to God always, there was still something lacking. But the good news for Cornelius was that he was doing all of those things, that he was devout, that he was praying, and at the foundation of that, that he feared God. I want us to dwell on that concept for just a moment this evening. Fearing God. Now when we think of the word fear, often we think of something that causes us concern, something that think is going to hurt us, something that we're seeking to avoid no matter what. Some people have a fear of certain creatures on this planet. Maybe it's snakes or spiders, maybe it's predatory animals, maybe it's dogs or something like that. You're afraid, you're concerned, you're worried that that creature could cause you physical harm. Okay? Or you may be afraid of certain circumstances in this world. Financial fear. You fear that whatever resources that you have, whatever means that you have, could be lost. And that all of a sudden, you would be in a position where you wouldn't have the things that you need. A house, a home, an apartment where you can live. Transportation to get from here to there. The ability to have food, clothing, things like that. Others may have a fear of certain diseases or conditions that you could acquire. Perhaps, obviously, with what's happened in this country and in the world over the last couple of years, you could acquire a condition, a disease that would cause your health to fail, causing you pain and difficulty. And obviously, that would be a problem, and so you certainly could be afraid of that. Perhaps you're afraid of being in certain situations in the world where people might look at you a certain way and cause you to feel as though you were less than, as though you were in some sort of danger or in some sort of way of being perceived as not up to the level that you're supposed to be. And that causes you, to not feel comfortable. All of these are real, but none of them will help you save your soul like fearing God. And why is that? If you lose your life to one of these creatures on the earth, that doesn't really change anything because your life was going to end anyway. If not in 30 years or 20 years or 40 years or 50 years, at some point, 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100, your life will end. So while it's certainly understandable that you would fear something taking your life will end. Perhaps you're afraid of losing your means, your ability to take care of the things that you have. But again, at some point you won't be in this life anymore, and so the things that you have won't be yours anyway. So there's really no need to truly fear that. I'm not saying be irresponsible. I'm not saying being reckless. Don't go jumping into a lion's den just to prove that you don't care about that. Don't be reckless with how you handle the responsibilities of the means that you have been given. But if you are unwise and don't fear God, then you're really, really in a bad position, because the fear of God will cause you to recognize what's truly important in this life. We are given life by God from the time we're born, from the time we are conceived in the womb. We are an individual. And over those 9 months or so that we grow, God has blessed us and chosen us with life. And it's only because of that that we even are here. And so for that alone, we should respect and acknowledge Him. And then, as we come into this world and we grow and we expand our life, everything that we have, wherever we might be, is a blessing from God. And we should acknowledge and recognize that. And once we get to a point, probably around 10, 11, 12, 13, maybe a little bit younger, maybe a little bit older, we should start to perceive just who God is. And at that point, the fear of God should take over us. And when I say fear, am I talking about the fear that we have of destruction and pain? What I'm talking about is the recognition that this is superior to me. If I said that I fear the consequences for my parents, am I concerned that my parent is going to injure me? No. But am I concerned that my parent is going to discipline me? Yes. Because they know what I don't. That's why they're my parent. And they'll always have that advantage. No matter how long I live, I'll never catch up to them. And the respect and regard that we have for our parents, if we're still blessed when we're 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 to still have our parents, that's a wonderful thing. And we should respect and acknowledge them. Are we terrified of them? Well, when Alan was 11, he was, because then his mother would drag him out. I'll be good. No, he's not worried about that anymore, I don't think. But he still respects his mother. And we should all respect our parents if they're still around. But more than that, we must respect and fear God, because He is the ultimate decision maker over our eternal soul. If we don't recognize that, and if we frivolously allow the world to distract us and pull us off the path and get our minds all wrapped up in worldly things and cause us to conduct ourselves in ways that are not pleasing to God, then destruction is inevitable. Cornelius understood that. He was seeking to devote his life. Where do we think we get the word devout from? Devote his life to God. And because of Cornelius' attitude, because of his mindset, because of the decisions that he was making, he was afforded the opportunity to repent of his sins and live a righteous life. And that's the same opportunity that we have each and every day. Perhaps we've already been baptized. Perhaps not. If we've not, baptistry's here. But righteous living, that's a daily challenge. Every day we need to remind ourselves to fear and respect and acknowledge and submit our will to God. Why? Because eternity awaits, and He will protect us if we listen. Just like the child that listens to their parent receives the benefit of that, the child that doesn't listen to their parent reaps the consequences of that. But unlike an earthly parent, God never makes mistakes. Only God is perfect. We are not. We must trust Him. We must submit to His will. We must live in a way that's pleasing in His sight. We are the example to the world. What we do is watched and observed. People know we're going to church. People know that we say that we're a Christian. They have a certain expectation of us, even if they don't have that expectation of themselves. Cornelius set an example that drew attention to his behavior. We should do no less. Set the right example. Live righteously. Fear God, so that when your life ends, you can die in confidence, knowing that eternity will be a place that you want to be instead of a place that you're sentenced to be. And again, if you need to be baptized, we have the baptistry here. If you need the prayers of the church and the support of the individuals here because you're trying to live the righteous life and things have gotten in the way, we're here for you. That's why we come together when we come together. So if you do have those needs or anything else we can do for you, please come forward now while we stand and while we sing.